All right, welcome back to Talkin' Baseball, Giants pregame show. Alongside Bill Lasky, I am Carey Crowley, and it's time to welcome in our next guest, Adam Copeland, the host of the Leadoff Spot. Copes, before we talk Giants-Dodgers, we have to address the big topic of the weekend. The city of San Francisco is back.
Yeah, dude, the city's back for sure, man. Good talk to you guys this morning. I was out Friday night. I was out last night. North Beach was live. The city after the ball game on Friday, too. I was over at the Warrior game, just seeing the droves of people leaving the ballpark, getting caught in a little traffic jam. Was kind of nice to have some normalcy and feel like things are coming back and masks are coming off on June 15th. So, yeah, last night definitely, and I'm feeling it this morning a little bit. But the city's back. I need to build the stamina back up, Kerry.
I'm sure you will get there, sir. A complete game is coming your way soon. So, Scott Kazmir yesterday, it's a beautiful story. 37 years old, works his way back, hadn't pitched in the major leagues in 5 years, and he gave the Giants four solid innings. What did you think of him?
I thought he was fantastic, man. His velocity got up to, I noticed at least on the TV gun, to 94, it looked like yesterday. Seemed like he was throwing pretty hard. He and Buster seemed like they were on the same page. And giving up the home run to Max Muncy, which was just an absolute tank into the bay, was a tough one, but really just one bad pitch. He got himself out of some jams. And you're right, the story's pretty cool. This is a guy who was a top prospect years ago in the, I think he was drafted in 2002 or 2001, something like that. Made his debut in 04, and he'd been out of baseball, and it's a guy who had pitched for the Dodgers, had pitched for the A's, had some great success, and previously an all-star at one point in his career. But I thought it was pretty cool having him out there and watching him get injected into a rivalry game between two top teams in the National League West on national TV just sort of added to the fanfare, or added to the story. So I thought it was pretty good, and really that's the most you can ask for from a spot starter, from a guy who you're calling up who hadn't been stretched out really more than 55 or 56 pitches early this year so far in Sacramento. So I thought it was a good outing for him, and I hope he can keep it rolling.
Four!
Now that I got your attention, Adam, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you,
Bill? You got a golf course today?
No, I'm not, dude. I'm kind of nursing my my activities from last night. I'm
okay.
Trying to recoup, man, so I can get up early.
Making sure, you know, I had to throw a little golf, a little line there just to get your attention.
I'm here, Bill. I'm all right.
Well, I want to talk about a player on the Dodgers, 23-year-old Gavin Lux. He's really been playing extremely well for him. He's hitting 9 out of their last 11 games, 22 for 69, hitting .325. He's only 23 years old. Could this be the shortstop of the future if they don't sign Seager?
Well, I think absolutely, and I know they had worked him out at second base a little bit in the last couple of years, and now they're so focused on just getting bats into the lineup. I mean, I think Max Muncy's in there again at second base today, so I think he's a great sort of insurance plan for them right now if they're not able to sign Corey Seager after the season, or if Corey Seager's out for an extended period of time. I think he's going to be out for the next month or so right now, so they've dealt with a lot of injuries. Cody Bellinger getting ready to come back as well, and so I think having a top prospect, and as a Giants fan, it's like, damn, just another one of these guys. It seems like every time somebody goes down for them, they're able to call on a Zach McKinstry or a Gavin Lux or another young player who can come up. And Edwin Rios is another one for them, right, who I think that they're ready to put him into the lineup, but he's sort of having to play all over the place. And the Dodgers are just such a deep organization that I think we're starting to see some of that with the Giants too, that we're seeing guys go down and then you got to plug somebody in, and they've just cycled through second baseman the Giants have this year. We're seeing the same thing with the Dodgers. And so it's a little bit frustrating as a Giants fan to see them continue to have this sort of success year after year after year with more young players coming up and able to fill some of these voids. But I think in the future, even if they were to keep Corey Seager, there's talk about him maybe down the line moving to third base or something like that. And Justin Turner is getting up there in age, just re-signed this offseason. So Gavin Lux, who's one of the top prospects in baseball entering this season and entering last season also, I think he's a good player for them. And it's going to be frustrating to deal with him for the next decade or so, yeah. I think, for Giants fans.
Hey, Adam, one of the debates that we've had on this show the past few weeks is if the Giants were to add, if Farhan were to look at this roster and say, I'm going to provide an upgrade at some area of the roster, where do you think that would be? Where could this Giants team use some help right now?
I think the obvious spot is bullpen, right? I think the middle inning bullpen guys, and specifically from the right side, it seems like they've got tons and tons and tons of lefties. And some of the names that we saw in the Cactus League have already sort of, you know, shown up here at the big league level. Camilo Doval gets optioned yesterday, but I really do think that they're going to need help from the right side. The funny thing about that is every team needs bullpen help. Everybody needs arms, and we're seeing how matchups are used in the postseason. We saw a couple of years ago the Dodgers were running guys out there for like all seven games of the World Series because they needed the arms. They needed the outs. We saw it with Aroldis Chapman a few years ago when the Cubs won the World Series. He was out there, I think, six of the seven games of that World Series. So you got to have arms. You got to have arms to get through the summer. And that's why I think seeing an outing from Scott Kazmir like that yesterday was encouraging, because you know you can tab on some of these guys or some other dudes down there. Dominic Leone, Shin Yamaguchi, maybe some of these guys come up later this season and help the Giants out. But I think certainly it's going to be bullpen help that they're going to need. And we also got to find out what's going to happen here with Aaron Sanchez, who saw an arm specialist, I guess, this week. And Logan Webb was dealing with the shoulder strain. So pitching, I think, is the number one asset that you can have when trying to make a postseason run. And the Giants have proven that they can identify that and find success out of guys that maybe other teams didn't identify. Like, we've seen this with the starting rotation. So I think bullpen help was probably the number one concern.
Yeah, today on a post-game show, Extra Innings, I got a chance to sit down and talk to Antoine Richardson, who's the first base coach as well as the base running coach. And my question leads to that. The Giants have 20 stolen bases. They were doing really well. They were second or third. Now, all of a sudden, they've gone back in a pack. 11 teams are above them. And, of course, the San Diego Padres have 50 stolen bases already. Do you see, Adam, this team just pulling back and not really getting too much aggressiveness on the bases? Or is it just because they're not getting on bases, they're not stealing bags?
Yeah, it's sort of funny because you're right. Early in the year, it did feel like guys like Austin Slater were swiping bags, it seemed like, all the time. And he struggled, I feel like, to get on base a lot lately. And if you look at the averages, too, like, I don't know that that has anything to do with it, but you're talking about getting on base. The OPSs for these guys are pretty good. They've been putting up runs, except for this weekend against good Dodger pitching. But stolen bases, you know, when you can get on base and it's an opportunistic situation to do it, I think it's all about just picking your spots, because it does feel to me like across baseball this year, and I haven't seen numbers to support this. It's just sort of my opinion based on watching. It feels like the stolen base has been used a lot more. You mentioned the Padres doing it a whole lot. I've seen a bunch of teams steal bases this year, and situations where I was a little surprised that they were going to do it. But I feel like if you can do it to get a guy off rhythm, or a starting pitcher or the opposition off rhythm, or you could do it to put yourself into a situation to score that extra insurance run. And the Giants, I don't feel like, have had to do that a whole lot. They've found success at the plate. And so I think maybe Kapler has pulled off just a little bit, just because when guys are at the plate and they're finding success and they're walking on their own and they're driving in runs and finding and showing the gap-to-gap power, I think that's really what I think they're focused on doing, and that's why I think the stolen base has sort of diminished over the last couple of years. But I guess you're right. I hadn't noticed it that much, but it does seem like they're running less on the base pass than they were early in the season.
Talking with Adam Copeland here on the Giants pregame show. Copes is the host of the Leadoff Spot and also my co-host on the Copes and Crowley podcast. You can find it on the KNBR podcasting app. And one of the things that we talked about this week, Adam, was the best moments from our childhood watching this Giants-Dodgers rivalry. You got a favorite Oracle Park Giants-Dodgers memory that stands out to you?
A favorite Oracle Park Giant-Dodger memory. Yeah, we were talking about, I think we ran through some of the highlights on the podcast earlier this week. The one that stands out to me, and I threw this one out to you just because it was kind of random, and it's sort of funny because I think it happened in one of those Fox Saturday baseball 4 o'clock afternoons like we had yesterday with the crazy shadows, was a Pedro Feliz grand slam off Yancy Brazoban that broke a 5-5 tie. And then I think it was Matt Hurd just came in and nailed it down or something like that. Maybe it's Dustin Hermanson sometime around 04. But those teams of my childhood, man, the 02, 03, 04, like getting close to the postseason, having Steve Finley snuff it out was heartbreaking. But I don't know, guys like Pedro Feliz always have a special place for me, man. And you were looking it up, Kerry. You had a funny stat about him. I think he had a career 280 OBP. You noticed he was averaging like a walk per week, right? He was walking one time a week. He would not survive in baseball in 2021. But there's some great Ray Durham home runs off of the Dodgers in the late innings, I think. Took Guillermo Mota deep one time. So lots of great ones at Oracle Park. The other one, Dan Ortmeier, the walk-off in September for a bad Giants team that was a lot of fun to beat them at home, I think, to near the end of the season for a Dodger team that was going to the postseason. So those are a couple that just stand out to me.
Hey, Adam, the Giants have hit 63 home runs, 45 of them on the road, 18 at home. Last year, it seemed just the opposite. It seems like they hit more at home than on the road. Is it just because they went to Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, started hitting the hell out of the ball, or is it something that we're not noticing what they're doing at home?
I don't know. I guess I hadn't noticed that really either. And I know last year it sort of felt like it was kind of an anomaly. Like, wow, they're hitting tons of home runs here. And we talked about the closing up of the archways and moving the center field fence in. And you still got a pretty good triples alley out there. But, I think part of that for the Giants, too, is going to be, as you mentioned, they play in a couple of bandbox cities. Did they go to Philadelphia already, too? That's another one where you can hit pretty well.
Did.
I think Colorado,
yep.
They've been to Colorado. So maybe it has more to do with some of the ballparks they've gone on the road with. But it doesn't feel to me. Do we know what off the top of your head, or are you looking at it, what their home record is versus their road record? Because it doesn't feel to me like they're a bad home team or anything.
I know it's 14-6 at home, right?
Yeah, and they're 14-12 on the road.
Yeah, so there you go. So it may just be a product of where they're playing on the road in the first part of the season, because a bunch of those ballparks, as you mentioned, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Colorado, Pittsburgh, it's easy to hit in those places.
Copes, one more for you here before we let you go. Scott Kazmir's role moving forward, do you like him in the rotation, or do you see him more as a long reliever when Logan Webb comes back, when Aaron Sanchez is on the mend, when Tyler Beede kind of mixes into this Giants rotation?
You know, I kind of like him in the rotation, just because that's what he's done in the past. It's where his mind is, I think. I think that's where you get the most out of a veteran guy like that. If you can find a spot for him and you feel like he's a good sort of George Contos type who can come in and pitch two or three innings for you, or a Yusmeiro Petit type who can come in and give you bulk innings, that's great too. But and you need that guy. Every staff needs that guy for when there is a short outing from a starter. But having him have the ability to start and step in and throw four, five, six innings maybe at some point down the road, I think is why the Giants signed him. I think that's how you get the most out of Scott Kazmir.
That's a really intriguing thought. Yusmeiro Petit, that would be a good role and a good fit for Scott Kazmir. I could absolutely see that. So, Copes, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time. And the city's back. Enjoy it.
All right, boys. Have a good one. Enjoy the game.
All right. He is Adam Copeland, the host of the Leadoff Spot here on KMBR. A lot more coming up on the Giants pregame show. We're going to go in the booth with John Miller. We'll have This Day in Giants History and Diamond Notes as well before Krukenkeip on Baseball. For Marty Lurie, Bill Lasky, I'm Kerry Crowley. You're listening to Talkin' Baseball, Giants pregame, KMBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.